Baseball Hall of Fame. But he played on those 1887 teams for a short time. They only played for like maybe a season and a half, and then the league folded. He then moved to and played in Philadelphia, played in New York into the 20th century. So he was recognized along with Pop Lloyd and Rube Foster as some of the great players in Negro League baseball in the early 20th century. The second iteration of the Pittsburgh Keystones came in the early 1920s when Rube Foster formed the Negro National League in 1920. One of the franchises was a Pittsburgh team called the Pittsburgh Keystones. And they played in a field in the Hill District called Central Park, which was partially a baseball facility and amusement park located in the Hill District. And they played from 1921 to 23. And so they kind of preceded the Pittsburgh Crawfords. But the Homestead Grays were organized in 1910. And the Grays were sort of a barnstorming team, just a little bit above a Sandlot team. But during the decade of the 1910s, they really formalized into a professional baseball team and played in a number of different leagues at that time. And they didn't initially join the Negro National League in 1920, but later in the 20s they did join the Negro National League. And, of course, most people remember the Homestead Grays as one of the great Negro League franchises.
Now, Gus Greenlee was involved with which team?
Gus Greenlee became the owner of the Pittsburgh Crawfords in 1931.
And we also know him for the Crawford Grill. Mm-hmm. And I know he was a bit of a raconteur, so to speak. Just a really interesting guy. And mm-hmm. I'm sure the Crawfords probably grew in notoriety under his ownership, I would imagine.
They did. The Crawfords started out as a Pittsburgh City recreation team.
Huh.
There was a recreation center in the Hill District called Crawford Recreation Center, and it was directed by a gentleman named Big Jim Dorsey. Dorsey was known as a local athlete in basketball. He played for the Pittsburgh Monticello Athletic Association. In 1911, he and Composey was on the team that beat Howard University for the Negro Basketball Championship in 1911. And he was also a very well-known football player as well. So in his later years after World War I, he became a director of facilities at a number of different recreation centers in the city, starting out at the Center Avenue YMCA in the early 1920s when it opened. He was the first director, and then he went on to the Crawford Recreation Center, where he was there for a couple of years. So the team formed under his direction, and that team included well-known Pittsburgh photographer Charles Teeny Harris. Yeah, on that team, the Pittsburgh Crawfords. So they won the city championship around 1927 or so, and was, you know, getting a name as a pretty good baseball team, and you know, and sort of a threat to the status of the Homestead Grays as the best Negro baseball team in the area. Gus Greenlee stepped in 1931 and offered the players to, you know, become a professional franchise. He hired Harold Tinker as the manager, and Tinker put the team together, and that team included an 18-year-old Josh Gibson. And the rest is history, as they say, because they did become a really good baseball team. And basically, the way that things were for Negro League teams is the players were essentially on one-year contracts. So at the end of the year, there was always a battle. It's like everybody was a free agent. And so there was always a battle to sign players. And so naturally, there was a battle here in Pittsburgh between the Crawfords and the Homestead Grays, you know, for the best players. And Josh Gibson went over to the Homestead Grays, leaving the Crawfords in the early 30s. But that Crawfords team was really, really stacked with some of the best players that we had ever seen play baseball. You know, Josh Gibson, Cool Papa Bell, Oscar Charleston, Judy Johnson, Satchel Paige, Smokey Joe Williams, you know, playing for both Crawfords and the Grays.
Wow.
During that period, just flip-flopping teams. Satchel Paige would eventually leave and join the Kansas City Monarchs, but Josh Gibson remained with the Homestead Grays throughout the decade of the 30s and into the 1940s until his death in 1946.
You really bring this to life. Any bit of history you have always brought to life as we've talked throughout the years. And I hope folks, you've just touched the tip of the iceberg here. April 21st at 6:30, there's a virtual event. We've linked to it. It's presented by the McKeesport Heritage Center and Samuel Black is who we're talking to. Who's director of African American programs at the Senator John Hyde History Center. I hope folks will sign up. Should they make a reservation in advance, or can they just log in that night?
Sure. They can contact the McKeesport Heritage Center and reserve and get the link to the broadcast, the Zoom broadcast, and just join us and just talk about baseball and the way it was back then.
Well, I hope they'll do so. Is there anything else you'd like to mention?
We're doing very well at the Hines History Center. And, we have a program the day before on April the 20th at 5:30 p.m., part of our From Slavery to Freedom film series, in which we're going to show a film called Stateless, which is about Haitians living in the Dominican Republic and the whole political controversy surrounding that, where they're not citizens of Haiti nor citizens of Dominican Republic. And so there's a movement there to become citizens of Dominican Republic. And we will be joined by University of Virginia Professor Marlene Daoud, who is a Haitian immigrant to the United States, but has been teaching at the University of Virginia for a number of years. And so she's going to enlighten us a little bit about the film.
That will be April 20th, right?
Yes, April 20th at 5:30. You can find it at the Hines History Center website, and you can register for the program. It's free.
Thank you, Samuel. And hopefully we'll be in touch again soon. And I hope both of those events go well. Thanks for being with us.
Well, thanks for having me.
That's Samuel Black, and what a great opportunity to increase your knowledge about baseball or to see the film he just mentioned. Broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start. The Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP, FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, WNJR Washington, WMCK McKeesport, PCTV, Comcast 21, Verizon 47, Pittsburgh, loudspeaker.fm, Fort Collins, Colorado, Radio Phoenix.org, and slbradio.org/radio. Now it's time for a National Poetry Month feature. Here is Costello Keene.
This poem is called At First Glance You Are Troubling, Upon Further Inspection You Are Beautiful, and the title speaks for itself. It's just about the things that we, like normal things that we go through every day that, you know, at first glance might be troubling or not the best, but when we look further into them, it either sparks a feeling of nostalgia or just something that makes it seem worthwhile or, you know, beautiful. A small girl hugging her mother's legs in fear of the flashing lights of parade floats. People walking down freshly paved sidewalks on their way to do the mundane. The white flowers at funerals that clash with the black. The red of babies' cheeks when they cry. The labored breath of people who have spent more time than they bargained for on Earth. The mysterious beeps of hospital rooms. Empty, broken bottles of beer on the sidewalk glinting in the moonlight. Stories that make you want to hide in a hole and never come out. Vomiting in a toilet for the first time. Mourning someone you loved. Making your pillow damp with tears on a cold afternoon. Sipping tea with someone you know won't be around for very long. Kids staring at the fading sun, petrified of what the dark may bring.
Costello Keene for National Poetry Month. We'll have another feature at 10 o'clock this morning. And look for links at slbradio.org and on our social media pages for National Poetry Month. All morning, all April long, all month long, from the Saturday Light Brigade.
Hit that ball.
And when he swung his bat, the crowd went wild because he knocked that ball a solid mile. Yeah, man.
Yes, yes, Jackie hit that ball. A satchel Paige's Melosaurus Campanella, Newcomb and Dolby too. But it's a natural fact, when Jackie comes to bat, the other team is through.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball when he hit it? And that ain't all, he stole home.
Yes, yes, Jackie's real gone. With grace and style, and when he hit that ball, the crowd went wild.
Did you see Jackie Robinson hit that ball when he hit it? And that ain't all, he stole home.
Yes, yes, Jackie's real gone.
And yesterday was the 100th anniversary of Jackie Robinson breaking the color barrier and his wife Rachel Robinson. Appeared with the Yankees last night at age 100 to commemorate that special anniversary.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from Spatial, providing customizable radio automation software and streaming solutions to radio stations, broadcasters, and businesses around the world since 1999. Additional information is available at spatial.com. That's SPACIAL.com.
Now it's time to give you a chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge. Are you ready? We're looking for a nine-letter word and nine letters. Our crossword puzzle of the air. I'm about to give you a clue, and it is up to you to see if you can figure out the nine-letter word we're looking for. I'll give you some letters, too. The clue is represent. Represent. The third letter is R. The sixth letter is N. Again, the clue is represent. Third letter, R. And the sixth letter is N. Do you know the word? If you do, 412-200-5975. I'll give you more letters if need be over the next 10 minutes or so, but maybe you already know it. 412-200-5975. That's this morning's crossword puzzle of the air. Earlier this morning, we were talking about parts of the body spelled with three letters. Bill Diskin just added ACL. Thank you, Bill. Good morning also to Kathy. Nice to have you with us. Repeating, the clue is represent for our crossword puzzle of the air. Third letter is R. The sixth letter is N. And there are nine letters all together. Blank, blank, R. Blank, blank, N. Blank, blank, blank. We're featuring some songs from an album by a Montana-based group called The Kitchen Dwellers. They released an album called Wise River. Bluegrass-infused contemporary music, adding some jazz and rock idioms as well. This track is called Years of My Life.
Just take that dory home. For the year it's bound to grow. She said, now watch the wind over your shoulder. Winter's coming and soon we'll bring the cold. Kagan knew this too well. 40 years on the swell. Though cold never gave him a fright. He knew this year it could take his life. And while you wait for me on the corner, But you know I always turn to the tide. When I need to be free, I'll escape to the lee, set my sails northeast for the light. They'll take years off my life. Said I'm not afraid of you unless I can't find that old ledge. So we turned on around to the north, but the wind, it watched his course. Well, a gust ripped right through his mainsail. He put his oars in and shouted through the breeze. With the dory adrift, he could not find now the ledge, calling out here for his wife. Only the wind could hear him cry. While you wait for me on the corner, but you know I always turn to the tide. When I need to be free, I'll escape to the lee, set my sails northeast for the light. They'll take years off my life. Sail was no use but to keep him warm. Though not afraid of the cold, fleeting thoughts turned to home. His wife there biding her time. She knew he was gone this time. And when the waves wash over your shoulders, and the way you move makes me cry, can't stand to the wind. Take me now, my old friend, 'cause she knows down deep inside I'm no more years of my life. And now she waits for me on the corner, but she knows I come and go with the tide. Take my hand through the wind, I won't see her again. No more years of my life.
Years of my life from the Kitchen Dwellers. Well, do I need to give you another letter? Sharon was able to get it in Kang, North Carolina. Oh, and Tom in McCandless is so close, but not quite it. Nine letters. The clue is represent. The third letter is R. The sixth letter is N. And the ninth and last letter is Y. Does that help at all? Represent is the clue. Third letter, R, sixth letter, N, and the ninth and last letter is Y. So you've got a third of the letters now. If you know the correct answer, this is the time to let it show. We're going to be talking to Nicole Molinaro in a few moments from Women's Shelter and Center of Greater Pittsburgh on Redefining Home, an upcoming program they're doing. I'm checking to see if anybody else has come up with the correct answer so far. Sharon, you may be the only one. Oh, good morning to Karen. I am so glad that you liked the poem that you heard earlier this morning, and I will get back to you in as quickly as I can to give you additional information about that poem and how you might be able to hear it again. We'll talk with Nicole in just a moment, but how are you doing with our crossword puzzle of the air? The clue is represent. The first letter is P. The third letter is R. The sixth letter is N. And the last letter is Y. Do you know the word we're looking for? I'll give you another moment or so to come up with it. Meanwhile, I'm going to say hello to Nicole Molinaro. Nicole, it's so nice to have you here today. How are you?
Larry, it is such a pleasure to speak with you and be here this morning. Thank you so much for this.
Yeah, when I found out that you were going to be our representative today, I said, this is wonderful. I haven't talked with Nicole in ages.
It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been way too long. Now, you've got a really neat event coming up. Nicole is with the Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh, or Women's Shelter and Center of Greater Pittsburgh. And this is called Redefining Home. It's a lunch and learn that's going to be this coming Thursday at noon, virtually. And tell us a bit about what's behind this. I know you're working with our pals at Rothschild Doyno Collaborative.
Yes, we are. We love them. They have been amazing architects. And they completely redesigned our building, which our renovations finished about 4 years ago, but we have a really exciting announcement to make on this Lunch and Learn, which is why we're doing it now. But the Redefining Home Lunch and Learn is really to talk about our and how our building has served, our survivors adult and child survivors of domestic violence with both safety and healing in mind, and how the building itself has really served as that reminder. So we've really worked very hard to create a sanctuary space for our survivors, not only the folks who come in for shelter, which of course shelter is in our name, and that's our most obvious service, and of course one of our largest in terms of operation, but actually only about 4% of our clients need shelter, because shelter is when you're really in serious danger for your life. But the remaining, 7,000 folks that we serve every year actually need all of our other services. So the building works to redefine home for everyone, regardless of whether you're coming in for shelter services, whether you're receiving therapy, support groups, legal advocacy, children's program services, any of our services. We really hope that when our clients walk into the Women's Center and Shelter facility, they really feel like they're home in a safe and healing sort of way.
And shelter, when you think about social needs, that's really pretty much the most basic need is shelter, and then building up from that, whether it be a sense of belonging, right up to being able to become your greatest self, and being able to provide the spectrum for support of women and families has got to be just a terrific mission. It is a terrific mission. And having a place to support that entire spectrum is quite an accomplishment.
Right. Thank you so much. Yeah, we would agree with that. The basic needs, like you said, shelter and safety, And just having the essentials, food, et cetera, are so critical. And so many survivors of domestic violence, because of financial abuse and because of physical and emotional and other types of abuse, really are oftentimes lacking all of those when you think about them as independent folks, right? So getting back to reclaiming who they are, because it's, you know, when you get into an abusive relationship, unfortunately, the pretty intentional manipulation by the abuser can really create a decrease in self-esteem and kind of a loss of self. So it's that regaining of self that we work on. That person, we're not changing who the survivor is. They are there. But oftentimes in abusive relationships, you can kind of get worn down, basically. And so we are helping them to really reclaim themselves. And we do so through our services, and also the building helps in the healing process. So we are very happy and proud and honored to be able to provide services that not only help folks with basic needs, but really help as they learn about domestic violence and learn about their own relationship and how they can live a life free from abuse and reclaiming who they really are.
Now, this event is April 21st. It's noon to 1 via Zoom, and Rothschild Doino Collaborative and Women's Center and Shelter are collaborating on this event. And it's called Redefining Home, subtitled Designing a Sanctuary Space for Survivor Safety and Healing. And while you'll learn more about Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh and how they've designed their space, I think there are teachable lessons in design of any space to help improve your own space, to provide sanctuary. A lot of us have been stuck at home more than we have intended to, and that makes you think a little bit about how you use the space you have, create boundaries.
Right.
And so I think you'll probably learn more if you attend from that perspective, too, I would think.
Larry, I think you are absolutely right. Women's Center and Shelter in our services we're kind of taking a back seat to the architects on this. We'll be kind of introducing it and saying a little bit about the history of why we went into this renovation. And then at the end, we'll talk about how it's concretely impacted our clients. But huge bulk in the middle are our amazing architects who are going to really be talking about all of the different ways that they, not only allowed us to continue service without disruption, but, you know, increased our square footage, increased the efficiency of the space, provided opportunities for additional space, which actually allowed for social distancing, which was during the pandemic, which was not something we had planned, of course. We hadn't anticipated the pandemic, but it really, the way they designed the space really came in handy. But they'll also be talking about color choices, the use of natural light, different inclusive design elements that we have throughout the building that really make it clear that everyone is welcome at Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh, regardless of who you are, who you love, where you are in your journey. We are here for them. And I think that's what's really going to come across in a way that, as you said, Larry, is not just applicable to Women's Center and Shelter and the healing of domestic violence survivors, but really for anybody kind of looking to maybe refresh their space a bit. So it's really interesting stuff. I will tell you what, I've been working with our architects for, I feel like it's been about 8 years, almost 8 years at this point, because our design process took about 4 years, and then it's been about 4 years since it was launched. And I will tell you what, every time I talk to them, I still learn something new. They are incredible. And so I'm so excited for this Lunch and Learn, celebrating Earth Week, and really being able to talk about the building and how it's really served in very concrete ways in the healing process for survivors of domestic violence.
Now, you can learn more at wcspittsburgh.org. We've also directly linked to the form that you can fill out to register for the Lunch and Learn. I also want you to know that I'm going to give you the 24/7 hotline, and this is a number to use if you need 24/7 help. I want to be sure you're aware of the purpose of this number, but I won't let a moment pass by. Jot this down if you need it. It's 412-687-8005, or maybe you know somebody that might be in need of services offered by Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh, 412-687-8005. Otherwise, go to their website at wcspittsburgh.org for non-urgent information. And I want to thank you for the work that you've been doing, Nicole. It's so important to have resources like this available. Is there anything else you wanted to add?
No, Larry, just thank you so much for having me on this morning. It's such a delight. I always love your show. And of course, I adore you. And so it's been ages since we've talked, and we have to correct that for the future. But it was such fun to be able to come on and chat about this. We really appreciate the support of our work. So thank you.
Our pleasure. Take care. That is Nicole Molinaro from Women's Center and Shelter of Greater Pittsburgh. More information on this Thursday's Lunch and Learn at wcspittsburgh.org. The word we were looking for, personify. We gave you the clue, represent. John and Carrick was able to come up with it. Zach was stumped. Tom was close. And Sharon came up with the correct answer, personify. That's the word we were looking for. Another chance to earn a Saturday Light Brigade charge coming up with our High Clue, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings at slbradio.org/radio.
Hello!
Hello, Mr. Opera Man. I'm just stopping by. I'd like to get to know you better. You're my neighbor after all. We see each other in the hall. You always seem unfettered. So tell me something I don't know about you. I know that when you sing, your smile shines through, and it makes me smile too.
Thank you.
Two great funny
That's Lucy Kantari and the Jazz Cats with Bunny Hop. Oh, I see that Bonnie got the correct answer. Good morning, Bonnie. I missed your correct answer until just now. Personify, that's the word we were looking for with our crossword puzzle of the air. Hello and welcome. Maybe you're finding us as you drive today. If you're heading to visit relatives, thank you for listening to the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions.
Headliner joins you in supporting SLB Radio and Youth Express. Headliner is a cloud-based software that media makers can use to add video to podcasts, music, and other audio projects, making it easier to share their creations via social media, YouTube, and websites. Headliner also offers a photo and video library, text captioning, and simplified audio-video editing. Additional information is available at headliner.app.
Hello to Julie. Nice to have you playing along this morning. Also, good morning to Charlie. Nice to have you aboard. Well, it's now time for this morning's High Clue. See if you can solve the puzzle we're about to give you. It is in the form of a haiku, but it gives you some clues, hence it's a high clue. 17 syllables, one answer. Here they are. Initials matching. He achieved a sky-high dream with his kid brother. Initials matching. He achieved a sky-high dream with his kid brother. Can you solve our high clue? 412-200-5975. 412-200-5975. Why don't you consider joining us on the radio? We'd love to hear your voice. It's a friendly place for you to say hello. Kids, adults, everybody in between. I'll give it to you just one more time. Initials matching. He achieved a sky-high dream with his kid brother. That's today's high clue. Jay in Washington also knew Personify. Thank you, Jay, for being here. I just happened to notice your message. And good morning to Tommy, who not only took a guess on our high clue, but got the correct answer. He just texted us. You can text us or call us at 412-200-5975 or phone 1-888-752-7234. Daryl Scott now at SLB.
I'm a rolling stone, all alone and lost. For the life of sin, I've paid the cost. When I pass by, all the people say, there goes another boy down the lost highway. Just a deck of cards and a jug of wine and a woman's lies makes a life like mine. Oh, the day we met, I went astray. I started rolling down that lost highway. I was just a lad, nearly 22, neither good nor bad, just a kid like you. And now I'm lost, too late to pray. I started going down that lost highway. Don't start your rambling round. You lead a life of sin, oh, you're sorrow bound. Take my advice, oh, you curse the day you ever started going down that lost highway.
That sound before. What's that I hear now ringing in my ears? I hear it more and more. It's the sound
of
freedom
calling,
ringing up
to the sky.
See now, shining in my eyes. I've seen that light before. What's that I see now, shining in my eyes?
You can see it.
I feel now beating in my heart. I felt that beat before.
An album released juxtaposing the story of Passover as well as an African-American celebration of freedom. The album is called Let My People Go. Kim and Reggie Harris singing there. The song Phil Oakes's What's That I Hear? And you also heard Daryl Scott and Lost Highway. You're listening to the Saturday Light Brigade live today with you. Shirley came up with the correct answer to our high clue. Tom had Wendell Willkie as a guess. Not Wendell Willkie. Bonnie had the correct answer. Well done, Bon. Here's our high clue again. Initials matching. He achieved a sky-high dream with his kid brother. 412-200-5975. Tommy in Richmond got the correct answer. A correct answer also from Zach in Pittsburgh. Russ says, you know, I may not have gotten this if I still lived in Apollo. The license plates where I live now helped. But he lives in Kangit, North Carolina. Well done. Chaplain Steve got the correct answer too, as did Annie. In eastern Pennsylvania, Bob in Washington got the correct answer. So did Jeff, listening in Maine. And John in Carrick also came up with it. Linda, half of our dynamic duo, came up with the correct answer, too. Thank you. Did you figure out who we were looking for? Wilbur Wright. Wilbur Wright. And Wilbur Wright was born today in 1867. He only lived just past his 45th birthday. Kid brother Orville Wright. And the two of them credited with many aviation firsts. Initials matching is in WW. He achieved the sky-high dream with his kid brother, Orville. Wilbur Wright is who we were looking for. And the Saturday Light Brigade charge to you if you came up with the correct answer. Now it's our pleasure to say hello to Marion Lean. Marion is with OCA Pittsburgh, and we're going to talk about the Pittsburgh Historic Chinatown Dedication Celebration. It's a busy day today. Good morning, Marianne. How are you?
Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for having me this morning. What a pleasure.
Oh, it's our pleasure, and what a big day for you. There's part of the city of Pittsburgh that some folks don't know about, but they should know about it more after today. It's 3rd Avenue between Grant and Ross Streets, which is Pittsburgh's historic Chinatown. Tell us a bit more about the area.
That's right. So it actually goes back in time when the first Chinese came into this region. The first Chinese settlers came into Pittsburgh about 1872, we know. They came by way of Beaver Falls. They had fulfilled, 300 of them fulfilled a contract with a cutlery factory up there. And after, you know, their 4 years, they decided that they'd had enough. And so wandered over to Pittsburgh. And so they, you know, after dabbling in Wiley Street, some parts of Water Street, they eventually landed here in the two-block vicinity between Grant and Ross and 2nd and 3rd Avenues. So today, what we're doing is we're actually celebrating the historic Chinatown. Because your listeners will know, what is she talking about? There is nothing there but, and sadly enough to tell you, only two structures left of that time period. And so unlike other Chinatowns, if some of you have gone to visit, like those in Philadelphia, New York City, Chicago, unfortunately, ours is no longer, other than a operating and a very good Chinese restaurant, a name of Chinatown Inn. That red pagoda building and then the one next to it are the only two original structures left from that time period.
Why so do you think, why did our Chinatown not last, do you think?
Yeah, that's a very important question, right? So what happened was that, you know, it was actually in its heyday. So this is, we're looking at the 1910s, 20s. It actually was so busy that it held 160, no less, hand laundries. There were a few grocery stores, gift stores. It had over 26 restaurants at one point. And you know, there were fraternity orders, so it's sort of like the YMCA, right, for Chinese individuals. And so, you know, many have asked the question, because it was so busy and it attracted folks, not just Chinese folks from here in Pittsburgh, but from the tri-state area, from, you know, West Virginia, you know, parts of Ohio. And so, you know, where we were sitting, you know, as a city, the confluence of the three rivers really made it a great space for importing lots of these items from the, well, at the time we said the Orient, right, from Asia. And so it became sort of like a specialty, right, in the space. Well, what happened was that, you know, through history, there were exclusionary laws specifically prohibiting the Chinese from coming further into the United States. That had a lot to do with the labor fears, of this country. At the time, the United States was entering a recession. And unfortunately, when those sorts of pressure points happen in U.S. history, we have a tendency to point to and to the most vulnerable in our community. And for the Chinese laborers at the time, it was so much easier to pick them out of the crowd, as we say. They were the forever foreigner, no matter how long they were going to stay. And so lots of the citizens here decided that they were too much competition.
So, it must be, I didn't mean to interrupt, because we were further west, perhaps, than New York or Philadelphia, is that one of the reasons that folks weren't coming further into the interior of the U.S.?
Yeah. Actually, you know, the Chinese really didn't come by that way, right? So from Asia, from China, they actually went to the California, Oregon, Washington coast first, the mm-hmm. West Coast. And so what happened was that there was a lot of discrimination, violence, you know, to the point to the Chinese and other Asian populations. And so they decided to head east for more economic opportunity and a rest from that kind of violence. The particular group we're thinking about, though, came actually from the New Orleans area.
Huh.
They had finished some work out there. And the cutlery factory that I'm speaking of, they were in the midst of a strike. And so the board members there decided they needed to take a look at how to continue operations. And so they decided to call upon their contact actually in San Francisco, who told them, you know, wrote back and said, no, not our folks here, but I have a contact for you. And here it is if you'd like. And that's how that started. But I will tell you one other main reason why the Chinese never recovered. And that is because of urban renewal. So this idea that, you know, in the 20s, 30s and 40s now, you know, there was a need to look into our cities, the inner cities, and see how we can put investment into spaces to liven it up. Well, one of the things that the city had decided was to build the Boulevard of the Allies. Some of you have written on that highway, right? Driven on that mm-hmm. highway. So if you take a look the next time you're there, and I hope it's today, and you look to the side, you will see a red pagoda building. And you'll notice, boy, that's really close to the edge of that highway. And the reason for that is because the Boulevard of the Allies, you know, the ramp for that truly, literally, was built right into the heart of Chinatown. So if you look up from 2nd Street, our Court Place, if you looked up, you will notice that that boulevard, that highway is directly above you. Well, to do that, they had to tear down buildings. And those buildings were part of Chinatown.
Now,
so that combined with exclusionary laws, you know, preventing Chinese, you know, in general from coming into the United States, really then begins the demise we were entering World War II. And so the healthy younger, you know, men signed up, you know, to serve this country, to prove their patriotism. And the other is that, you know, the older set went to work in the munitions factories. So there really wasn't many left then, right, to carry on business in Chinatown. Now, there were some families left by 1956, 64. We know that there were still a few handfuls of families that were there after, you know, the boulevard was built. What happens next is these families are displaced, as we say, right? They're sort of dispersed through the city and really never had a chance to come back together again. So if we look at New York City, Chicago, Los Angeles, the reason why those Chinatowns continue to thrive is because you have the steady flow of immigrants coming in. So where are then these immigrants that are here in Pittsburgh? And so I would say to you that organically, you know, these spots where the immigrants, particularly from Asia and China, and even more particularly, are gathering are in neighborhoods like Squirrel Hill, Oakland. We're seeing a healthy group of them coming up in North Hills area as well. But, you know, here in our county, we have over, you know, 23,000 Chinese. That's just Chinese Americans here and residents. We all, you know, if we looked at the whole Asian American Pacific Islander community here, and that's looking at the whole spectrum of us, we're looking at over 50,000 in
wow.
the area.
Now, today, I want to be sure we just have another minute or so. Today at 1 o'clock, there will be a celebration and a dedication of Pittsburgh's historic Chinatown. It starts at 1, 3rd Avenue between Grant and Ross Streets. It's free. You'll get a chance to learn more about the history and to see those two original buildings. And I'm sure you would like people, regardless of heritage, to show up and learn more about the history you've just shared with us.
Well, Larry, I'm so glad you pointed that out. I want to tell you today is about all of us, right? And so I want to share with you that the celebration, while it's about a historic point in our city, this particular day is about fun, it's about family, it's about festivities, there is music, there's cultural performances, there's good food, we have bubble tea that is there for a purchase, as well as a concert. So it's a Chinatown concert by three artists, rap artists that are here. They heard about what we're doing here with Pittsburgh Chinatown, and they decided to add us to their tour. And so we're so excited to welcome Jason Chu and Alan Z and MC Ting Budong, who is a bilingual, Mandarin-speaking, African-American Fulbright scholar who's here to share with us. Yeah. So lots of fun and activities and crafts for the little ones, too.
Well, that sounds like great fun. And we've linked to the OCA Pittsburgh website. And this is today, April 16th. I'm so glad you're here with us, Marianne. We should do this more often. And here's to a great event today. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Take care. What a great event. I hope you'll get a chance to enjoy that. Thanks to Marianne Leanne of OCA Pittsburgh, broadcasting live from historic Allegheny Square, along with Ricky Berger. This is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings on 88.3 WRCT Pittsburgh.